Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. Welcome back. Well, we're wrapping up the end of the year here. What is this? You know, it's like the Friday before the weekend where we all begin to celebrate the new year of 2012. And, oh, by the way, if you're watching this anywhere except CalBanyan.com, you want to go there right now because right below this video is a whole bunch of links. I'll be providing some very important links in this podcast. What are we now? We're like 256 videos, give or take. Because I do have a couple of audio-only versions, but were the earliest versions of the podcast. So, well, we're well over 250 videos now, free for all you out there, hypnotherapists and hypnotists around the world who want to kick up your practice hypnotism to the next level. And I know there's also some of you hypno-curious types out there who are looking at coming into the profession. You've been surfing around the web, and you came across this website. Well, welcome to CalBanyan.com. All right, let's see. So last episode I had Elrond, next episode I have Meredith. She'll be back for four more episodes unless, you know, the hypno fates have something else in mind. We should be getting together in a couple of days to record the next four episodes. It's always fun. I mean, I'm always privileged to have Elrond and Meredith along with us, but sometimes I just have to toe the line by myself. Who is this Cal Banyan guy? Well, I'm known for developing five-path hypnotherapy and also the seven-path self-hypnosis system, one of the very first, if probably the very first, mind-body-spirit, insight-oriented forms of self-hypnosis. If you want to learn more, you can begin to actually learn that seven-path self-hypnosis thing by going to seventhpathselfhypnosis.com, and I have a free lesson there. Get started. All right, let's see what I have here. Just real quick, you know, you want to become a one percenter, the top 1% in the profession. You already been through training and you want to kick your training up to the next notch, or you want to enter the profession. I've got a very, very, very special February 6th through 17th class coming up. The NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Hypnotherapy Certification Super Course, what makes it so special? For the first time ever, and maybe the last time ever, I'm going to have 11 days. It's usually 10 days, Monday through Friday, weekend off, and then Monday through Friday. But this time I'm going to add one more day. It's a bonus day to build your practice. We're going to talk about how to make money in more detail than ever before. And normally we do is we spend the last half of the day on the last day talking about building and marketing your practice. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to take that half a day and we're going to move it to the 11th day and expand it greater than ever before. And this is going to give me a half a day more on that last day where I can just go over all the stuff I go over in the 10 days in a little bit more detail. So this is the one, February 6th, and we still have early registration available. You can save hundreds of dollars. So there's a link right down there. We also, if you in May, if you want to look ahead, we've got the Week of Power Advanced Hypnotherapy Certification course. It is everything that's in the 10-day course, except it's squished together. It's for people who are already certified. Although, guess what? A lot of people are already certified. They take the 10-day course. And of course, as I've been talking about and been excited about through all these weeks, is a Solid Gold Weekend. Best speakers and trainers all in one weekend. And what do we know? Elrond's going to be there. Celeste Hackett's going to be there. Meredith Locker is going to be there. I'm going to be there. It's going to be the best Solid Gold ever. And it's in Anaheim, California. Go to ngh.net. Link down there to get all the details. All right, topics of the day. You know, I've kind of been harping about this. I'm going to harp a little bit more. And no, I am not trying to sell Kindle products. It's not like I don't make a penny if you buy a Kindle. I'm not offering you an affiliate link to buy Kindles, but I'm just very excited. I've read so many books in my lifetime, and now that I've had my Kindle, I originally had a regular black and white Kindle, and now I've got the Kindle Fire, it's sitting right here next to me. And I just want to recommend the heck out of it. I just like it. It's easier to read books. It's easier to get books. You can sample books. It's just amazing. Did you know that Kindle readers start now at $79. $79. That's like the price of, what, three or four hardcover books. And now you have access. There's tons of free books. And then, of course, there's all the books that you've ever will ever want to buy in the future. And here is another really cool thing. Don't even want to spend the $79? I can dig that. You know what you can do? Did you know that there are Kindle applications for your PC, for your Mac, for your iPhone, for your whatever kind of phone you have? That's right. You don't have to spend a dime. So I want to just really recommend the heck out of this Kindle applications and the actual Kindle unit. And as you know, I love it so much. I've converted the Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy book over to Kindle. You can get a free sample of that right down below. There's a link. Also, just last week we finished up the Secret Language of Feelings book. Get a free sample, link below. And next is going to be Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy, Pattern Scripts and Techniques, which is my book on some techniques and, most importantly, I think, some really cool pattern scripts that are really, really, really worthwhile. Oh, here's another reason why you might consider apps. I mean, not apps, Kindle books. They're a lot, generally speaking, they're a lot less expensive than the hardcover book. So now, you know what? You can get huge, how am I going to say this? A huge amount of information for a lot less money. Most Kindle books are priced $7, $8, $9 as compared to, $12 to $35 for your typical hypnosis book. So your Kindle will quickly pay for itself if you actually read these books, and you'll find out that you're reading more. All right, enough about the Kindle stuff. Let me look here on my computer. I always have my computer right here in front of me. Now, here is an insider thing. The NGH, the National Guild of Hypnotists, the largest hypnosis professional organization in the world, certainly the friendliest, the one that I think looks out the most for you, wherever you are. Doesn't matter if you're in the United States or England or Australia or Mexico or Venezuela, 63 countries they have members in. They are looking out for you, and they're always looking ahead. Right now, I don't even have authorization to talk about this. So I'm going to keep it kind of vague until the actual results are out. But I happen to know that the National Guild of Hypnotists are working on tweaking a couple of things. One is the Code of Ethics, and the other is the recommended standards of practice. Now, why would they do this? Well, times are constantly changing, and the National Guild of Hypnotists is always up on top of what's going on in the profession. And guess what? If you want to be on top of what's going on in the profession and associated with the best organization in the world, you should go through training by people who certify people for the National Guild of Hypnotists. All of my courses can lead to certification. Certainly my certification courses. Every time you take my course, a 10-day course, or you can instantly, you are automatically, I mean, unless you say, don't sign me up, it's a certification course for the National Guild of Hypnotists. Now, of course, the 7-day course, if you have enough other course hours to go along with it, that can also get you certified if you're not already. If you have questions about certification, go to ngh.net. Now, besides, you get to go to the convention, and you get to go to Solid Gold and all that good stuff. All right, what I want to talk about is the National Guild of Hypnotists is tweaking the Code of Ethics and recommended standards of practice, and all National Guild of Hypnotists members must abide by the Code of Ethics. I'm on the National Guild of Hypnotists Ethics Committee, and we get to see when people come in, when complaints come in against hypnotists. And I tell you what, I am so amazed at the fairness and how impartial the members of that committee are when they address both complaints of clients and also dealing with the hypnotherapists. amazing. The fairness and the patience that is being exhibited by the members of that committee. I don't even know how many years I've been on that committee. It's been a few. And I'm proud member of the Ethics Committee. And what happens is if you are a National Guild of Hypnotists member, in addition to all those bonuses, you need to abide by the National Guild of Hypnotists Code of Ethics. If you don't, there are things that they can do, recommend remedial training, different solutions to problems that have come up, and also even you can lose your membership. So why do I bring this up? Because the National Guild of Hypnotists knows that by sticking up for would-be clients and clients, that they're really helping the profession to grow. And right now they're refining some wording. And the wording is being refined to help the profession grow with respect to other professions, such as the profession of medicine, the profession of psychology and psychiatry, so that we can all get along. And so the hypnotist can stay out of trouble. Because there are laws against practicing medicine and psychiatry and, psychology without a license. So they're rewording some of the words in the Code of Ethics and also the recommended standards of practice to enable us to look at, first of all, there's two major groups of people that we work with. First, there's the hugest, biggest membership, and that is membership of the group, what we call normal, healthy, everyday people who have normal, everyday problems. And that's who we mostly work with. I would be perfectly happy if that's all I was restricted to work with. Just normal, everyday problems, breaking habits, improving motivation, that kind of stuff. But sometimes we can work with mental health professionals, medical professionals, to help them get what they want done. And so they're carefully rewording that to make sure that it is well understood amongst those who are in the profession of hypnotism and also in other professions such as the medical profession and psychology, so that we understand our roles and we don't step on each other's feet. And the clearer these guidelines, this code of ethics is, and the recommended standards of practice, the easier it is for everybody to get along and for everybody to do the work that they are trained to do. So, just kind of a heads up, when the new code of ethics comes out and the new standards of practice, just going to be some small tweaks, but important tweaks in the wording, I'll let you know immediately. I expect that they're putting the finishing touches on it right now so that it will be all done, all available in time for the Solid Gold weekend. So let's talk a little bit about this. Practicing medicine without a license. Practicing psychology without a license. Practicing nursing without a license. Now, this is very controversial, and I invite you to leave your comments below. And gosh, I can't be an expert in everything, but what I always can do is I can say, let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. And there are people out there who want to get the profession of hypnotism licensed. I am against that at this point because it's just not necessary, and I don't think it's worth the trouble. Here's why. You see, licenses are there for the protection of the public. And so when you do dangerous things, like driving a car, you need a license. You do dangerous things like going deer hunting, you need a license. When you're going to go do dangerous things like surgery or prescribing medications or giving injections to people, you need to have a license. When you start doing things like providing psychological evaluations that lead to diagnoses, which there's only one purpose for a diagnosis, and that's to indicate treatment, which could involve drugs and other kinds of things. So you need a license. But hypnotists, gosh, what we do just isn't dangerous. We make suggestions. The client is perfectly able to reject suggestions that they don't like. They can emerge anytime they want. I think they're when people don't realize that suggestions are being given, such as in a non-hypnosis environment, they are less likely to reject suggestions than when they know that they are sitting in the hypnotist's chair, they are being hypnotized, and then the hypnotist gives them suggestions. They're even more on guard against receiving suggestions that they didn't like. And people just don't accept suggestions that frighten them, or they think will harm themselves or others, and it just doesn't happen. I know I'm going to get messages down there. Go ahead and do it. But I think you're going to find that it just doesn't hold up if you try to say, oh, hypnosis caused harm. Hypnosis in and of itself never hurt anyone. It's just a heightened state of suggestibility, and you can always reject the suggestions you don't like. So we do not need a licensure for hypnotists or hypnotherapists. Just not necessary. I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people being hypnotized every year, maybe millions. And people are just not being hurt. Can you imagine if we didn't license doctors and they started doing what they do without license, with no oversight? The people would be dying all over the place. So there's just no need to license hypnotists. But hypnotists need to also remember what their role is. And one of the things I looked up, and this is kind of a difficult thing to research, and that is, what is practicing medicine without a license? And you know what? It means something different depending where you live, what country you live in. If you live in the United States, it varies depending on what state you live in and all that. But I'm going to come up with some generalities. I visited a legal site called medicalmalpractice.com. And I'm going to read a little bit. I'm not going to read all the stuff they said, but this will give you some ideas. They said the practicing of medicine without a license and nursing without a license is also known as the unauthorized practice of medicine. Practicing medicine without a license can include a range of activity, but some of the more common examples include the following. Now, they had a larger list that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to pick out a few of the things that I think that the poorly trained hypnotist might be more tempted to get involved with. So, first of all, holding oneself out as a doctor when, in fact, one is not. That would definitely be practicing medicine without a license. And I personally know of one instance where a hypnotist told a client, he was a physician, he was a member of the NGH, and that individual was out as soon as that was established as being true. Gone. Poorly they go, look how those unruly hypnotists go around doing stuff like that. And I'll tell you what, years and years on the ethics committee, that's the only time I've ever been aware of that coming up. So it's not something that happens very often, but when it does come up, it's responded to decisively. Prescribing medication to a person when one is not licensed to write prescriptions. Now, I'm going to amend this a little bit. I'm going to add to it. This also includes advising a client to change or modify anything that the doctor told him to do. So if the person is on, excuse me, a little scratchy throat here, an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety or whatever, and they've been prescribed by a doctor for this, or they're on some other kind of drug therapy or physical therapy, if you advise them to modify that, you could be in trouble for practicing medicine without a license. So keep that in mind. Here's another one: giving an individual a medical diagnosis. One of the challenges is a lot of the psychiatric, psychological terms have just casually moved into normal vernacular. For example, oh, I've got depression. Well, depression is arguably a psychiatric term. And so you don't want to talk about depression in any way that could be construed as like a major depression, a psychiatric illness. So you just got to be very careful. Sometimes I'll talk about being depressed, but I'll always call it, say, you know, I think what's happening here is you've got normal, healthy depression, the kind of depression that everybody gets when, or feeling depressed when everybody, when anybody just, things aren't going their way. So you need to know a pretty good idea of the laws where you practice. This is where being associated with, belonging to, or setting up a National Guild of Hypnotists chapter in your area is very, very helpful, because you could just make it as part of your mission to work together to know the laws and maybe even write them down for where you're practicing. All right. Let's see. An actual physician who practices outside of the scope of the license for which the physician possesses. This is a challenge for the actual doctors out there who are hypnotists or hypnotherapists. And that is, sometimes they want to do things that they're not licensed to do. And some in the past, excuse me, doctors have had trouble for doing things like using hypnosis. So even doctors sometimes can get in trouble for practicing medicine without a license. I know it sounds very strange. All right. So let me just say some things to wrap this up. Avoid using medical and psychiatric terms. Psychiatric terms like depression, anxiety. You got to be careful using those kinds of terms. And medical terms like treat and diagnosis. Sometimes my clients will just joke around and they're going to say, okay, doc, what's your diagnosis? Am I crazy? And I'll tell them, straighten them out right away, and say, look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a licensed psychologist. And so I don't make diagnoses. And then I will reframe. If this is a normal everyday person with a normal everyday problem, I'll say, you know what I think you got here is you're in a situation anyone would be in if they had gone through exactly what you've been through. Let's go ahead and use the hypnosis to take care of this bad habit, slack of motivation, whatever it is. So don't talk medically unless you are a medical person. Now, of course, if you're a doctor or a nurse practitioner, whatever it is, and you have a license to that, then of course this doesn't matter to you. All right. This is so, don't call yourself a clinical hypnotherapist. Clinics is where medical people work. Don't call your place of office a clinic. I've had so many people say, Cal, where's your clinic? Or can I come to your clinic? I straighten them out right away and say, what I have is a hypnosis center. Now, I've had nurses work at our center as hypnotherapists, but still, it's not a clinic. A clinic is a place where medical people practice. So don't call your office a clinic. Do not call yourself a clinical hypnotherapist. Stay away from that clinical word. And in some states, you may even have to avoid the term therapy or therapist or hypnotherapist because they're protected terms in some states. Now in California, we can call ourselves hypnotherapists. We do hypnotherapy, and we don't have a problem with that. But gosh, there's a lot of places, I believe New York, Florida, Texas, these states, you really, really need to know what you're doing with regard to how you talk about yourself. All right, that's it. I want to wish you guys a happy, happy new year. I want you to have the most prosperous and successful year ever, filled with love and growth and all good things. And remember, I know I have kind of a strange philosophy, but I believe it's all good. Even the challenges in your life, the ups and the downs, are a blessing if you will just let them be so. All right, remember to follow us on facebook.com/hypnosis, etc. Remember to check out hypnosiscenter.com. That's where my schedule is. And also go to hypnosis.org, O-R-G, where we organize the world of hypnosis for you. And we've got some free training videos there too. Teach you how to do the Elman-Banyan induction. Give you some insider tips, tricks, and techniques to cause your hypnotic inductions to work even better. All right, that's it. Last podcast of 2011. Cal Banyan signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.